Hello, hello. Welcome to Life with the Girlfriends with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hello, Julie.
Hello, Christine, my psychopomp of a mother.
Say what?
Say what? If someone said, okay, Julie, I'm giving you 15 seconds to describe your mother, and the answer would be go. I'd first go psychic, intuitive, loving, caring, psychopomp. And they would go, what?
Excuse me?
I go, I don't want to have more time to go. Because let's just stop there at psychopomp because I don't know what you're talking about. And they're like, oh, well, psychopomp means that she is, because she isn't so intuitive, and also we had got verification of this through some readings that we got this week, which
right.
We'll share with people.
Right, right.
You have always, my entire life, been able to communicate with the other side. Your connection to the other side has always been great. And people have actually, you know, come to you to say, could you help can you check in with my family members, you know?
Right.
And it's not like you're a psychic, like a medium.
No.
It's not that at all. You literally are there to help them who've passed on.
Right.
For them to move on into...
To keep moving forward. That's right.
And in some ways, if you went go with like 70s Catholicism, it would be like helping people who were in purgatory get out of purgatory.
Right.
And move on to heaven.
That's good.
You know, that'd be good. One way of describing it.
Right.
And then I asked you, I go, well, how do we market this?
We don't.
You know, this has to grow organically. And then, well, how do we charge for this? Who do we charge? What do we say about that? And then we did think of some ideas because there's always pre-burial, you know?
Right.
You pay so that your family doesn't have to worry about it when you pass on.
Right.
You give descriptions.
Right. So we're actually thinking that that people can pre-buy.
Yeah, pre-buy your psychopomp services.
That's right.
Well, I thought that was ingenious.
Ingenious.
You know, and because right now you have people coming to you just from the other side that just need help, you know, and hoping then the whole scheme of things all balances out because your technique, your knowledge is being used, you're being of service.
Yes.
And that's awesome.
Well, it's interesting because one thing this conversation started because one of my really good friends in Colorado is having a conference, and two of the speakers are Mayan shamans.
Yes.
And they do they do Mayan calendar readings, which is different than the Gregorian calendar that we use, which is the zodiac, the 12.
Right. Exactly. Different than the astrology 12 months. Reading, you know, getting that done and so forth.
It's different. And yet it's based on this, you know, the same thing. It's just
similar, right.
This one has like 13 months and it's got 20 glyphs. But so she convinced me to have a couple of readings, you know. So that's what I've done the past couple weeks.
Yeah.
Met with both of these shaman priests and it's interesting because my chart says this is what I should be doing.
Yes.
Is what I should be doing.
They both said similar things, but had their own take on it. And that's what I feel that's about what life's all about. You get the gifs of the information the same, but each person has their own take, and you get a fuller view.
Right.
And you go, oh, it's... You know, we were reading Jordan B. Peterson.
Which we talked about last week.
Which we won't talk about too much this week unless it comes up organically, which it might.
Like yeah, because right we're still in love.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I do want to talk about him because I was shamed.
You were Jordan Peterson shamed this week.
I was shamed this week for liking him. And I will talk about him organically this week.
Yes.
But he quoted the Bible about this long passage, and I can't think about it. I think... what it was, but when it was over with, you said, I had never thought about that passage the same way, the way he thought about it.
Right.
And then
I can't remember that.
And I have it circled and underlined,
I'm sure. Oh,
good,
good.
And I thought, that's how it is.
Right.
And, you know, you can listen to two different preachers read the same passage and give their take.
Right.
And each one would go, well, I go, that's a little different take on it. And it builds your appreciation for it.
And I like how it deepens things.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you just take something that you hear and okay, this is just an axiom or something, yeah. And boom. But then you hear it at a deeper level. And I think that's what life is supposed to do. You're supposed to evolve and experience things at a deeper and deeper level, gives it more, yeah, more gravitas, more, yeah, meaning, more solidity.
Well, and I have heard two
preacher man.
One person saying there was no such thing as dinosaurs, and another one going, "Of course, we have biblical proof that there's stuff in dinosaurs." I'm like, wow, how can two people supposedly be of the same? No.
I don't know what this was.
I didn't either. I thought more. So here's the thing, people. We just had an interruption come in, and I you know, I'm sorry for this. And he pantomimed.
Pantomime.
Is that the right word? So Normano, Storman Norman, walks in.
Yeah.
And then just starts pointing to it, opens his mouth.
And just starts pointing into it.
Now, we know that he's had some dental issues recently. And my first thought I go to is just,
oh, no, another tooth. Broken tooth.
I mean, can we just stop the madness? When do we call this? When do we just say we're done? Okay. And then I'm like, we're like both looking at him like, what? Tell us. What? You're pointing to your mouth.
He's pointing in his mouth.
I didn't want to interrupt you, but did you feed the dog? Oh, really?
Really?
Like, out of the whole scheme of things, Elliot, if he would have gotten an extra cup of food, would have, you know, what would be the consequence?
But how does, like, you know, I'm walking in, you know, and I'm just pointing a finger in my mouth, opening my mouth really wide.
Yeah.
Mean, have you fed Elliot yet?
Yeah, have you fed the dog?
How does that translate that?
He did not mean, no, pantomime. Is that the right word, pantomime?
I think it's a good word.
Okay, he did, yeah, not, you know, mime. Or, yeah, charaded out. Yeah. Yeah. Doggy.
Right.
Didn't do that.
Yeah. He just didn't get enough fours.
Yeah. He didn't get all fours and shake his tail. Or like came in with written word. Did you feed the dog yet?
Yeah. No, just like open mouth.
Open mouth and finger in mouth. Finger, I'm like, are you sick?
Yeah. I'm going to throw up. That's, yeah, what I kind of thought.
What's going on?
Yeah.
No. That's right.
Then we stopped. And,
yeah. So that bit of silence. So apologize. No, I really was freaking out.
We apologize, but you got a sense of the interior life.
Yeah. Like, no one
Peter's
cares about
plan.
Us. I guess if she have like a red tie on the door.
Yeah.
Like, hey, if this tie's on,
yeah,
no sex is going on. Just like, we got shit going down. We're talking, all right? Handle it. If, unless there's a fire going on,
right,
that we need to be escaping from.
Then what is he? He comes in and he's flapping his arms. What's that mean?
You cannot fly. We've talked about this, Father. You cannot fly no matter how big your faith is and how fast you flap your arms. It is impossible. And like, no, a fire.
Fire.
Oh, jeez. Stop. Sorry, people. We got to go because fire. Yeah. In the mind of my father.
I know.
Who I love and adore. And like, you know, he, of all the men I know, he's like numero uno.
Aww.
You know, I know a few.
I'm sure of all the women, he knows your numero
dos.
You're
like, then that's.
No, I don't know though. I think you might be numero uno.
Oh no, I know I'm numero deuce.
You're a deuce?
Dos or poop.
Yeah, Joe,
you're number one. I'm number two.
You're a deuce.
I'm a deuce. Brother the douche. Maybe that's what I heard him say. Yeah. I think I heard him say douche. Yeah. I don't know.
I got to take care of that douchebag right there.
So going back to your readings.
Yeah.
So one of the readings that you said, and first of all, got to love your friend who gave you two references and said, you got to have a reading done. And like, she knows both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So then all of a sudden you do feel a little pressured, like, well,
who do I choose? Right.
And if I choose one or the other, then you're going to be like, oh, really? Why'd you pick this one? What was your thing? And you're just going, you know what? I'm going to bite it and just get them both done.
Right.
And I'm glad you did.
I did. I'm glad too, they were both a little different.
They're both slightly different, the same kind of information. But what you realize is that it does build. You get the understanding from their perspective.
Right.
And I'll refer to Jordan B. Peterson on this one.
Okay.
Because And in school, we always talk about this. And when I was getting my degree in education, because in special education, it was not uncommon for one teacher to be with like one student throughout a lot of his, you know, a lot of their education. So you may have only one special ed teacher for 5 or 6 years.
Oh, I see.
And a couple good things. You get to know the teacher really well, so you get their strengths.
Right.
But you'd also get their weaknesses.
Right.
and so forth. And so Jordan B. Peterson talks about his daughter having rheumatoid arthritis mm-hmm. as a kid.
Juvenile.
Yes.
Rheumatoid arthritis.
And they went to this one doctor and she did great work until they came to the end of her knowledge base and her fear because their daughter was really struggling with pain and they couldn't get over it. And the doctor did not want to prescribe more opiates.
Like an opiate, yeah.
Yeah. And so they chose to go someplace else.
Right.
Because the doctor they were dealing with had her limitations to deal with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know what? See, we all have our limitations. Mm-hmm. No one's perfect here.
Yeah.
And also, we all can learn from each other for a time being.
Right.
Right?
Right.
And
until you come to the end of your knowledge and your right. wisdom, and then you
And I think that's one reason why our relationships as a family thrive so much.
Yes.
Is because we're not stuck and stagnant in one level of belief.
Right.
We keep growing and learning and growing and sharing. So I feel like I've learned so much from you. I'm like at, you know, Christine 2.0.
Right.
You know, or 3.0. I don't know. Yeah. You know? Or you're like catching fire, you know, like, you know, from, oh, what do you call it?
Hunger Games?
Yeah, you're like the last one, you know? Or wherever we're
at. That's where we're at, the Hunger Games.
Yeah, Hunger Games. That's what it feels like. And so, but one of the gentlemen who I loved, but I love it. He said, hey, I'll give you a science scale, whatever you can afford, 45 to 65, before he even knew you.
Right.
I'm like, well, what do we pick?
Yeah. You know, do we pick the cheapest one?
And I'm like, dude, we'll do the whole thing. You know,
I'll just say that's what I felt like. I go, oh, I'll take you the most expensive.
Yeah, well, because I didn't know. I mean, luckily it wasn't like 20 or 1,000. I'm like,
right.
Well, now I got some decision making.
Yeah. Right.
You know, 45 to 65, I'm yeah. like, yeah, I got a pizza. You know,
right.
I can give a pizza or whatever.
Right, right.
And so, but he said that you had been around at least 70 lifetimes.
70 lifetimes.
And I'm like, yes, I'm sure of it.
Yeah.
You are an old soul, and you could barely handle the crap of this world.
It's funny because I, you know, we did that movie for Christmas.
Yeah.
And at that point in my life, you know, we all kind of picked a song that we wanted as our background
yeah.
music. And I picked a song called I'm a New Soul.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I was feeling because I feel like the world makes absolutely no sense right now.
And that could be because it's such an old soul.
Crazy
that
world.
This going, I have my spiritual, emotional IQ does not fit anywhere close to what's going on
right,
here.
Right, right.
Not even close.
And I thought that, and see, here's the thing too. I thought that I could find my way out of this crazy world
yeah.
through comedy.
Yes. Humor.
And humor.
Yeah, you're humorist, right?
Yeah. And yet I don't know because I feel like I'm funny, but I don't know if I have 60 minutes of material in me.
You do.
And that seems to be the line, right?
No.
You have 60 minutes or
well,
or like that one guy
is a comedy special.
Yeah, that's a Netflix.
Yeah.
But I heard one guy go, oh man, that guy, he's such a newbie. He's only been around like 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
The dude only has about 8 minutes.
I'm like,
oh my God. It's like every year you're in comedy, you get like another minute.
I think what you're doing is
I'm
you're
freaking out now.
Yeah. Well, think of yourself as a humorist and that your stuff is not evergreen. You know, you're not meant to hone in on something mm-hmm. and have like a perfect hour.
Right.
Because that would bore the heck out of you.
It would bore. And also, too, I love like Marc Maron.
Yeah.
And in his last Netflix special, what he kept to his kind of tagline, you know, for the craziness of the world was, you know, I don't really have enough time for this.
Right.
I don't know how much time I have left right. to engage in this crap, you know.
Well, that is
and I've been
point.
Thinking that and yeah. I had been thinking about that yeah. for a long time, like Dad, like oh God, yesterday, what the hell, he wanted to talk about, I don't know, some inane thing. Right. I can't, you know how Norm is.
Yeah.
He gets on a subject and it makes no sense.
Right.
And he was talking and talking and talking, and he finally goes like, "And what do you think?" And I go, "Oh,
ooh, I'm supposed to pay attention."
I gave up on what you were talking about. I go, "Norm, I don't have enough time to think about that. I don't want to have anything taking up my brain.
Yeah.
That's going to do that to it. You know,
yeah.
I just like." If my brain's going to engage in it, it's got to be worthwhile.
Right.
You know?
Well, I
felt bad.
Yeah. Because, well, at bad. Some point you checked out because you're like,
I check out.
I wish him. Norm would set me up like, here's going to be the point.
Right.
And I'll get some background information.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to come around to the point again.
Right.
And then you'll be able to contribute to that.
Right.
I'm like, okay, good. But yeah. He'll go on with a story and you're like, you're just not 100% sure where this is going.
You never know.
And you're going, yeah, and I'd kill him too. What? Yeah. Wait. Yeah. Say what?
He did something like, he was doing one of those things to us yeah. this week or whatever. And we were like waiting.
Yeah.
Waiting to find out the point. It was a biblical story.
Yeah.
And at the very end, he goes, and see? And no, oh, finally, we're going to get yeah. the point. They didn't smell too good back then. Wasn't that it? He said, they did not smell too good. We said, okay, and what's your point? My point is, they didn't smell too good back in those biblical
right,
days.
Because somehow the blind person was able to distinguish.
Right.
That's
the story.
Because
the smell.
And yeah.
And so if you were blind in the biblical days, you could actually tell who you were talking to by their smell. And we go, and your point is, it probably didn't smell too good back then.
Or they had like Avenger-like superheroes. You know, superhero powers.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the ability to smell. And I think that could be a possible, advantage, especially if you were blind. Maybe you could sniff out food easier, you know, that stuff.
You're going to start losing me, Julie.
Yeah, exactly. I better cut that crap out. Yeah. It was funny. I went out last night with Doug, and his grandson was there with his son-in-law. At the house, and I came in, and I, you know, we're all close. I like him, and then Jack was the grandson, he was a little crabby. And then his mom comes home, and he's like really happy, he's not even two yet. And they go, "Let's all go to Culver's for dinner." I'm like, "Okay," we went to Culver's, and it was so funny because Jack was just had a little bit of food and then playing with it. And then they were talking about how Jack was hungry a little bit, and they debated about, you know, should they go give him some food or what they should do, and because they didn't have the appropriate food, they had some food in the house, Doug's like, "Oh, I feel so bad. I just ran and gotten some food for him." But I came into the house, they had a bag of cookies for him, and I said, "I go, you know what? I don't know why I was watching this, but it's 11 o'clock at night, and I'm watching Stalin, Apocalypse." I go, and at this stage in the game, you know, 11 million Russians died in a civil war. It's horrible. Jack's fine. I don't even get another thought. He's going to grow up. You know, if he misses even like a half a cookie in his lifetime, he'll be fine. He's going to be great. No worries.
Yeah, you're doing a perspective here.
Yeah, I go, let it be. He's right. Fine. He's happy right now. He got some. He was so incredibly happy. And it was so cute because Hillary, his mom, brought back a memory for me that I had forgotten. And my little niece, when she was growing up, when she was about Jack's age or a little bit older, when she was happy, she would just take her fist, Lillian, and she would just clench them high and just like shake really crazy.
Shake. Just shake.
I was so happy.
Yeah.
She wouldn't say that.
No.
She just would like smile and shake really fast.
Yeah.
And Jack started to do that.
Oh my God.
It was almost like the joy inside them could not be contained in the vessel of their body. And the only way they could do that was just go,
The joy inside them could not.
Yes.
You know, I've never experienced that.
I bet when you were two.
I doubt it.
You're like...
When I was two, my mom was pregnant with my brother, my first brother.
Yes. And there... And hence, there it went.
There was
your life.
Ode to joy gone.
I was listening to David... Not Dave Matthews.
Kevin?
Kevin Matthews. Dave Matthews I listened to also.
I tell you what. I got on my playlist.
Yeah.
I have Dave Matthews. For about the first 10 times I heard him, I was happy. Now I just want to shoot him.
Yeah. Well, it's a 9-minute song.
Yeah.
And most of it's, you know, not appropriate for exercising. Yeah. But anyway, listening to Kevin Matthews talk on WGN about his new book, Broken Mary.
Yeah.
A spiritual journey, basically.
Yeah.
But briefly, for a split second, he's 62, 63, I think, or me, right around there.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, oh, I had a horrible childhood. My parents were very abusive and hateful, mm-hmm. you know, so I don't. And so you realize that there are people in this world. I mean, a lot of kids, you know, grew up with parents going, these parents were effed up.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
They were angry.
Yeah.
They were effed up.
Yeah.
And they grew up. And guess what? They didn't do that to their kids.
Right.
They didn't. They chose to do the opposite.
I know.
Like, okay, I realize that that was painful for me. The least I could do is not do that.
At least
I could do that.
I can remember that hurt. So maybe I won't do that to my kids.
Yes, exactly. And so... When I see like five adults or four adults caring for the needs of this one child who's not yet two,
right.
debating about, oh, maybe he's not, maybe he wasn't, didn't get fed enough a day or he didn't take a nap. I'm like, the kid's going to be fine.
He's not in the Gulag archipelago.
Exactly. You know, he's going to be fine. He's not like lay at the side of the road because his parents had no food for him.
Right.
Hoping that someone walking by with food would take care of him. He'll be fine. You know, so you have to have perspective a little bit. And he was just, like I said, filled with joy.
Filled with joy.
And we were in a corner booth and he just had by the
window.
Drive through.
Uh-huh.
So he had to make sure he waved goodbye to every car. Bye! And he would wave goodbye.
He's just one of those children that's like, I mean, I'm not, yeah. I don't think I'm partial, but he's just special.
He is special.
Yeah.
He is very special.
He's just delightful.
He is.
When I think of kids that are like great kids,
yeah.
I love that a Spanky in our gang.
Right.
Because they're just like, you know, like darling, sweet, little bit of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, nobody's living the high life.
Right.
You know, we're making do with a lid on a pot, you know,
yeah.
and a twig and we got music, you know.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of how he is. He's like Spanky in our gang.
Well,
you know?
He definitely is because during this time, he also was literally pushing all the food off the table. We were all being magicians, like, grab the food here, do this, because he's just doing this. And everything was a thing, you know?
Uh-huh.
But he was smiling, so he wasn't crying, but he was loud and smiling.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good moment. It was a good moment.
Yeah.
So I don't know what we were talking about. Oh, but you're going back to your... to your reading still. So, but both these gentlemen,
mm-hmm.
both told you specifically that you need to start.
I have a destiny.
You have a destiny to share what you, to help others.
Yes.
Get through this lifetime and the lifetime beyond.
And more specifically, Eduardo, the second one, said what, you know, in addition to being the psychopomp, what I have done in lifetimes is, like, especially in the Mayan culture, when you're born, you know, you're the date, the time, and all that. But they also go back 263 days to the point of your conception.
Right.
But in the village, there's this person,
yes,
who once the child is born and they do the astrological, you know, Mayan calendar thing, then they intuit the different glyphs and how this particular child should be raised, not just by the parents but by the village,
right?
And that's what I'm supposed to be doing as well. So
yes.
I've decided to take that challenge.
I agree. And luckily, the glyphs, I mean, I don't know if it was a bad combination. Wouldn't it be horrible, like, if somehow the glyphs and, or you somehow wronged the glyph, interpreter at some point in your lifetime. Yeah. And then she's like, oh, she's having a boy, huh? Uh-huh. I go, well, I'm so sorry, Christine. But your boy is really going to be, I've seen the glyphs. And nothing but hard work. Uh-huh. Yeah. And he will be
been
the one.
Been there, done that. Yeah,
he will be the one carrying the water for the whole community today he dies. Uh-huh. I go, but he'll be happy. Uh-huh. Kind of. But he'll also be really crabby. And he'll be alone. He won't, but you know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not
no,
sure.
No, like what if the interpreter had a grudge?
And against then, me?
Not you in particular, but right. back then. Right. Like somebody.
Right. You know, so they're like, fooled ya.
Yeah, fooled ya. That's what I was saying.
Well, I find it fascinating, though, this just even the concept of caring enough for a child when it's born to say, this is how this particular child is sensitive or needs music or it needs to be in, you know, rational science. I mean, I find that just that alone fascinating. And if someone even would have remotely said, you know, hey, this is what this child will need to thrive.
To thrive, yes.
You know,
can you imagine how life would be?
Wouldn't
right
it
now?
Be amazing? And then the village got behind it.
Yeah.
So it's not just what if the village got behind it and saw a parent mistreating a kid and going, wait a minute, this child is not supposed to be beaten.
Right. Right.
This, you're not supposed to touch this child like that.
Yeah,
you know.
And then exactly.
I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
You do it.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, this is what I think. How wise would it be to have someone help you, assist you?
Right.
It would be like a super nanny, but for your spiritual destiny.
100%.
Starting off from day
super
one.
Super nanny. Yeah. I love it. So that's like in addition now to comedy.
Yes.
I'm going to have to be, and a psychopomp.
Yes.
I'm going to have to be the... This, what would you call it?
I would have a word for that.
I keep wanting to say doula, but I know it's not a doula.
No, because that's more like a midwife, right?
Yeah, right.
There's something there. We have to figure out a good name for that.
Right.
But you would be covering the whole lifespan.
I know, and that makes
birth
sense.
To death to beyond.
Beyond,
And then rebirth.
Yeah, and then that makes sense. That makes sense to me, though, honestly.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
So you had a special day this week.
According to the Maya.
The Mayan calendar.
I did.
You had a very special day. Do you want to share?
Yeah, it was my spiritual birthday. No, my conception birthday, right?
Right, right.
Yes. So we figured out it's when from your birthday, go back 263
days.
Yep, and that's when my conception was, and that's a very important date as well.
Yes.
And I was like, awesome!
It was supposed to be a lucky day for you.
Yes, it was. I'll take it as lucky. It was a very sweet day. I had a nice day, you know.
Uh-huh.
Kind of build momentum and then kind of slagged in the end. But I'll take it.
You were reminiscing, you know, thinking of your conception day.
Yeah,
you were reminiscing of the conception story,
right?
Of me and Normano.
I wonder if everybody. I should ask people I know if they know their conception story.
Because I should.
I do know my conception story, and I know Gregory's conception story, I think.
For Gregory?
Yeah, part of it.
I think I remember that one, too.
I mean, like,
pretty much so,
actually. General. I mean, I remember my conception story because it was a big day for you and Normano, because supposedly it was the first time. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm.
That's a story. That's a story. No, go ahead.
And so you had been dating for 6 months, and somehow you were at a frat party, but you had been drinking a little bit too much, which was not uncommon for Normano, because Normano was a drinker.
He was a
beer drinker.
Yeah,
and you weren't.
No,
but he was not.
Right,
like. You know, he wasn't Catholic.
Nope.
You know, he drank beer. You didn't.
He didn't do his homework.
No, you did. You were diligent.
Yeah.
It's like he took you down this path.
Yeah. I was a cheerleader when we first met.
The only thing he was really confident and calm in the world.
Yes.
And like, and you're like, what?
What he was, I think, so different from any other, at 18, man I had ever met, you know.
Right, right, right.
And because in my family, men were pretty kind of brutal.
Yeah.
And you got smacked around.
Yeah.
Like my brother made me a soda one time, and instead of putting ice cubes in it, put broken glass in the drink to just to make sure I would cut my throat as I, you know,
just
sucked on the ice.
Just for the hell of it. This is what would happen.
And this is you know, this is the genre of my capacity for men, you know.
Yeah.
And here was Norm. And my vision of him, the first time I saw him was, he's on the hood of a Pontiac. He's just wearing jeans. He's barefoot. He's eating hard-boiled eggs, got a beer bottle in his hand, and a guitar, and no shirt.
Yeah. And you're like, okay.
Really?
This is what I'm like, oh.
And then he sang, what is it, Danny song, or what's it called?
Danny song.
Is it called Danny song?
Yeah. You're a lucky one. Think I'm going to have
a song. If that doesn't get a girl's pants off, I don't know what song does.
Well, thank God not on the first date.
No. We never really had any dates because he didn't have any money.
Well, and yeah.
I was the one that was providing all the cash. that was another thing.
You
that
had a lot of red flags.
That should have been a red flag as well. Holy shit.
He was so different than what you had before.
Yes. I had to pay.
I mean, from the stories you told me, I mean, you met Dad when you were 19. Or 18.
18.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you had told me by this time you had gone on dates with a lot of different people and a lot of men that were like in their 30s and 40s when they asked you out.
Right.
And that's just like gross.
Yes.
But, you know, and they have asked you.
I knew that somehow I psychically knew that I had to squeeze a lot in those 4 years.
Or
I couldn't date till I was 14.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh my God.
From 14 to 18. You were, or like you go, I better get married soon because this dating life sucks.
It sucks.
It is horrible. What the hell's going on in this world? I can barely handle this world. You knew then, like, this girl is not meant for me.
Yeah. Just get me pregnant.
Yeah.
Pull me out.
Exactly. Pull me out of this world, this dating world. So anyway, so 6 months after you met, you know, a party at the frat house. My recollection is you're in the backseat of a car.
Yeah.
And you guys had sex.
Right. And that's not the reality, I don't think.
You know, and I think this
it was
how,
in the frat house.
Right.
That's what I think.
I think this is how a lot of my stories go because I have a couple different stories about that you've told me that I have given supernatural twists to that weren't really supernatural twists.
Tell me.
Well, okay, the guy, the priest that came to your room.
Right, when I was in the hospital?
Yes.
Yeah, that was true.
Did he really come to your room?
Yes.
But see, I thought he was dead. He had died the night before.
Right.
Or that day, and he came to your room as a ghost.
No. He came to my room the day that he died.
Yes.
He died that night, overnight. Yes. But that day, he came to my room as a priest.
As a priest.
Right.
But he was flesh and blood priest.
Flesh and blood. Yes.
And see, my whole recollection up until like a year ago was...
He was a ghost.
He was a spiritual being.
Right.
Like, he was a spiritual being.
I can't believe
but
that.
But he was not a flesh and blood.
Oh, my gosh,
you know?
Yeah.
I know.
I think the real story is better, though.
Well, maybe. Yes, it is better.
Yeah. Only because that wasn't the first time he had come the day before as well.
Right.
And so I started, this was like the first time that I'd ever really had a connection with somebody wise. And like we would talk because I was like, I'd gotten married.
Yeah.
And
you already had me.
I had you. And I'd gotten this really bad infection or something. I know exactly how I got it, I think, from this one dude. It was a New Year's Eve.
Who by chance would be like on a Me Too thing now because he forcibly gave you a French kiss or a tongue kiss on New Year's. And even though you said no.
Yeah.
Like, dude. And then you spend the week in the hospital.
And so, but during the time though, this priest really like 90 years old would come and visit me and just sit. And I thought he was a chaplain.
Yeah.
And just sit in this wooden chair. And we would literally just talk about children, about raising children. And I was like saying, oh man, I was telling him a little bit about my childhood. And he was really just like, you don't have to, you know, perpetuate this. You don't have to make it go on. And so we had visited for 2 days. And I was looking forward to the third day.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't show up.
Right.
And I waited and I waited and I waited. Right. And finally I asked, you know, the nurse in the hospital where, you know, where did he, and she goes, oh, that's, you know, that was Father, she said right. his name.
Right.
It was Weimar. And she goes, he passed away last night. Uh-huh. And then she goes, you knew he was a patient here, right? I go, no.
Yeah.
I did not know that he was a patient. I thought he was the chaplain. And so that's a
great story.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
And
it's a great story.
Flesh and blood.
Flesh and blood.
And he was the one, honestly, that gave me the insight and the courage to not raise you guys the way we were raised, you know?
Yeah. Oh, exactly. It's a great story.
Yeah.
It just wasn't the story that I grew up with. And so I don't trust my memories completely.
Right, right.
The other story is when your brother passed away, when mm-hmm. he was not even 21.
No.
He was drinking and then was driving the Ozarks and then right. Curry Roads and right. flipped his car over.
Right.
And at that time, we were driving, all of us, in a truck, and there were no cell phones. I mean, this was like back in the day.
Yeah.
And then you had
the late 70s.
Yeah. You had a dream that something had happened.
Right.
That you were spinning over and over and over again. Then you had Norm call home to see what was going on, which is not like you. You would not have called home.
No, we didn't. And I know I actually was afraid to have him call home.
Oh.
I had him call work.
Call work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And at that time, I had an uncle that was in the FBI, and they had found out where we were working, and they had left a message. I think you're right. There's nobody's phoning each other. It was like in the 70s, no, you know.
And yeah, and the sweet thing is you could go weeks without ever having to be in complete contact with somebody else.
And honestly, am I not fighting for that privilege?
Sometimes you are, yeah.
I still am.
Yeah.
I just
like, I need a break.
I go, I don't care if I have my phone or not. Yeah. I really don't care.
And so now in my recollection, though, in my years of remembering the story.
Yeah.
You had that nightmare, that dream.
Right.
The exact same time, you know, your brother passed away.
Right.
That's not true.
It was 24 hours
later.
But the exact same time.
But a day later, yeah.
Day later, right.
And so, and maybe if you would have had the exact same time, you wouldn't have called back. You would have called back early or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
And so forth. But growing up, or literally, I always thought, oh my God, it happened the exact same time.
Right,
you experienced
right,
the exact same time. Right. But you experienced it a day later.
It was a day later because I had the dream or whatever, and I heard Steve's voice, and he was rolling over and over, and he goes, oh, I thought I'd be afraid to die, but I'm really not, but Mom and Dad are going to be so worried, you know. And I woke up, and we were in a hotel room because we were traveling in the truck, and I just looked around the room, you know, trying to orient myself. And then I picked up the phone that was on the nightstand, and, you know, the hotel person said, can I help you? And I went, I had no idea. I go, what time is it? And he said, like, it was like 12:07.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what time he had been declared, you know, dead. And so I knew it was like pretty much like 24 hours.
Yeah.
To the exact time frame that happened, which then, you know, made me go, wait a minute, I need to pay attention to this, you know?
Right.
And so the very next morning, you know, I said, just call.
To see what's going on.
Yeah, just call your work.
Yeah.
I really didn't want to call home.
You're like, I don't even know about this. Like, no. Whatever's happening, let it happen.
Yeah.
I'll come in a week or two later.
Yeah.
And they'll have figured it out. It'll all be okay.
Yes. You know?
I mean, it's so funny because nowadays, if you're not able to find somebody in 24 hours, you're like, they could be dead, you know?
Yeah.
But back in the day,
no.
You weren't that
worried.
I don't know if it's good or bad.
No, it honestly, if you don't know, it's mostly good.
Yes.
That, like, I watched Murder on the Orient Express last night, and I purposefully wanted this movie. I read the book four or five times.
This is definitely who you are.
I've seen the movie.
Marple's, what's her first name? Mrs. Marple?
Miss Marple. Agatha Christie's.
Yes.
You know, Miss Marple. I don't know what Miss Marple's first name is.
Miss.
That's crazy. And then Hercule Poirot.
Yeah.
Hercule Poirot, who I love. And I've read all the stuff. I've seen the black and white murder.
Yes.
I've seen the 1950s.
Yes.
I saw the 1970s. I mean, I've seen all the murders on the Orient Express,
yeah.
You know. But I really was looking forward to this because I really have been missing that feeling of that time where Hercules been, he's just come back. He's the most astounding detective in the world.
Right.
He knows it.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I'm needing some time off.
Yes.
And he wants to take a month or two off.
Hi,
and,
why not?
And he wants to travel via, you know, via ship, via train, you know, all this stuff. And there's no cell phones. Nobody's just, like when you look at a Kardashian, you got a room full of people and nobody's paying attention to you. They're on their phones. And you look and you go, there's something seriously wrong with this.
Yeah.
You know? And so this was a time when just people were could travel. They would think, and even and so I just wanted to see the pretty mountains, all that stuff. But people were we talked about Jordan Peterson, you know, and he was talking about some of the great minds, the great thinkers, who deliberately pulled themselves out, not just for months, but for years, out of the world to think these deeper thoughts.
Right.
And thank God that they did, because we have these, you know, positions, philosophies to build from now, because they did do this kind of, you know, great intellectual work, because they pulled themselves out of society, took themselves out, and now, you know, they bring what they've, you know, discerned back into it, you know?
Right. I mean, I think back and I go, was that just for the rich? Or was that for everybody?
Well, I think the rich for sure did that, you know?
But also, I think people in the country were able to do that, mm-hmm. because they spent a lot, I mean, they had downtime and work time. I mean, I don't know.
Well, in those days, the women really didn't work.
Right.
You know, I think yours obviously
was
a big...
at the house, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you're talking about the rich probably didn't.
Right.
You know, they had their aides with them, assistants and all that stuff, you know, and purposely that's what they did. You were telling me about the story about this couple that were rich and they just traveled with this little boy, with their child.
Yes.
And
he was a chef. The little boy grew up to be a chef, right?
Well, he grew up to be a chef, didn't he? Yeah.
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 What was his name? Do you recall?
No, I don't recall. But
that's exactly the lifestyle.
Yeah, that's the lifestyle. Yeah. He says, I have no recollection of being raised. I was with my parents, but we were always on a boat, a ship, a train, and whoever was there,
raised that kid. It was funny you say it, because that's exactly what I was thinking of when you were telling the story of the Orient Express. It's these people. I mean, he talks about, and I can't think of his name. If I told you the chef's name, you go, of course that's who it is.
Right.
He's a famous chef, but kind of nobody knows him. But his parents or his dad was like uber wealthy, you know, just one of those uber wealthy people, Connecticut money or Long Island money back in the day. And he said, the only thing my parents didn't do for me, which I would have loved, is really made me an orphan. Because what they did was
50-50.
Yeah, they were just in his life enough to destroy it or to make him feel, you know, his mom became an alcoholic and, you know, like his dad was abusive, you know, just weird stuff. Mm-hmm. And, but they were hands off. And so, but not completely. so their interventions always were horrible, you know? It's like, but it was there, but they felt the need to always be traveling and see the world.
Right.
I've got to do this.
Right.
You know, this is what
you must
do.
See the world, yeah.
You're like, really? Except that they never really saw the world. They saw the world through a filter of money in some sense.
Mm-hmm.
As, you know, he tells a story in the documentary about him that when they were in Australia, I think it was, you know, his parents were at the hotel or someplace with other people having this great big meal, and they just let their kids go. And he's like 7 or 8 years old. And he meets up with an Aborigine on the beach, mm-hmm. and the guy kind of shows him how to fish, and at the same time kind of molests him a little bit, you know, and then takes him back to his parents, and they're like, oh, you're back. Yeah, hey, good to see you. Mm-hmm. What you been doing? I've been hanging out with this guy all day long.
Fishing.
Show me the world. I'm now different, and he wasn't, you know, but you're just like, I don't think we would do that now. We wouldn't just assume that a 7-year-old could just like be in a different country all by himself.
Yeah,
that's continent.
True. And I think probably we would assume that, well, yeah, you're 7, you're going to get molested.
Yeah, things are good. Bad things are going to happen to you.
Yeah, bad things happen. That's,
welcome to the world.
World. Yeah, yes. Exactly.
This is the price you pay for being in this world.
Yeah.
I think that's what, and I think as we get older, we're going, but why is...
Well, we were listening to an NPR special.
Yeah. Yes.
And they were these Me Too women, hashtag Me Too women, were telling their stories. And one said she was 18 or 19 and she was looking for a job. And the boss, who was very much older, like probably in his 50s or 60s, came on to her. And she went home to her parents and said, oh, my God, this happened to me. And they said, oh, and you're 18 years old. You're a young woman. You're going to get...
This is going to happen to
you. This is going to happen to you out in the world. Snap out of it.
Yeah, like, don't be surprised. This is what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, oh.
And so...
Okay.
So it was... But that was interesting because that wisdom, quote unquote, that they gave her, she allowed it then.
Yes.
For several years until at one point it got to where she was literally being raped, but they weren't calling it that.
Yeah.
She and her friends were saying, oh, this is happening to me too, and they were calling it, I don't know,
just
they had different names.
Yeah.
But at one point some older woman came and goes, you know, you're being raped.
Right
And they will, oh no, like rape is like you're in a back alley,
yeah. A stranger,
you get you know, yeah, beaten up, bloodied, yeah, and then, you know, and
left
then,
for dead. Yeah,
yeah. No, this is it. Yeah. You know,
it is weird to hear how we've been brainwashed to think, well, this will happen to you, and then so when it starts, does happen, you're like, okay, well, I guess this is meant to happen.
Right.
This is just, we didn't allow it to happen.
Right.
And then you go, wait a minute, for future generations, we got to take one for the team and like cut it off. You know.
Yeah.
And I remember telling you, I go, I guess I'm just so lucky. You know, I've always, you know, some people might say I'm not lucky. You know, like, because I've always worked with my parents. You know, I've always been so close with my family. And I've had a small group that I have had deep relationships with.
Right.
And nothing beyond that.
Right.
And so I've never had to deal with this stuff for the most part.
Right.
I think for maybe like a 6-month period of my life, mm-hmm, that was kind of relevant. And I can tell you, but it just wasn't as relevant as it is for a lot of
people.
You've
been blessed.
I have been blessed.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
It was so cute though, because we were celebrating.
In that area. You know,
we were celebrating your day of conception.
Yes.
You know, and you said to me, as you're relaying the story of your conception,
yes,
to me, you go, Mom, I guess today, I guess in this day and age, I would be considered a child of rape.
Because the way the story goes, and I was laughing hysterically, because the way the story goes is that, you know, you had way too much drink. Dad can hold his liquor. You can't. He was giving you more alcohol. And then he was just perpetually begging you. Begging you. And you were being together for 6 months, but he was begging you. And then you just like, all right.
Exactly.
And then you passed out. No, I don't know. But, and like I told, and I thought, I go, oh my God, this would be considered something different now.
Probably.
But yet you married him years later.
And
we did together.
We did the right thing.
Yeah.
Had another child of rape.
Well, that's funny.
Seriously, I shouldn't be joking about
it. No,
that,
it shouldn't be. But I guess we can be.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, exactly.
It is kind of funny because here you guys were, both 19, or 18 years old, not having a clue because no one's talking to you about any of this stuff.
Oh,
it's
no.
Like you guys are just saying, here's all your hormones. Here's all your liquor. Go fucking figure it out for yourselves. And guess what? You got knocked up. Surprise! Surprise! Like, I was like, could they have not prepared you even slightly for any of this stuff?
No,
of course not.
Well, they prepared you. Well, I was Catholic and
yeah,
Norm was Lutheran. And but they prepared you by saying abstinence.
Yes. They prepared you by, you told me this, that when you were growing up, good girls always said no, and good boys always kept asking.
That's right.
And so you're like, holy cow. And at some point, you're both like, we love each other. I'm just tired of saying no.
I'm tired of this conversation.
Fighting this guy off. Yeah, let's just stop. Let's just get it over with.
And it was so funny because you were telling Gregory, your brother, yes. about your
day of story.
Your conception story. And he remembers a totally different story.
Yes.
And it was interesting because I think his story stems from Norm.
Right, of course, because I have never heard the conception story from my dad.
Right.
That would not have probably have ever had that conversation. Hey, little daughter, let me show you how I knocked your mom up. There would be no words of wisdom there.
No.
But your mother can tell her daughter, like, here's what's happening. Listen to that. So,
and use it as a tool of learning.
A learning, and also like, hey, this, hey, this happens, and you love a guy, make sure you have a condom with you all the time. Maybe not drink so much.
Exactly.
So, or maybe get a car with a bigger backseat.
Yeah. Or make sure the guy doesn't have a guitar and plays.
Yeah, don't be fooled by this.
Is it Annie's song or Danny's song? But he used to do jet plane, actually.
Yes.
That was the one that got me.
But then also, though, the story was wrong because it didn't happen in the backseat of a car. It happened in a frat's bedroom.
Yes.
His bedroom.
Yeah.
His bed.
Yeah.
Which totally, to me, makes it even worse. I don't know why.
I think it does, too, actually.
Or it's not as like, ew, frat. I don't know. Yeah. I like the car story better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Personally. So I'm talking to my brother about this, and he goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. He goes, I know a story about how supposedly the conception story or the love story of our parents. And it begins with a bikini. I'm like, excuse me? A bikini? Where is this falling in place at? Supposedly, our mother comes out in a bikini. And supposedly, daddy is praying, please don't come out in the bikini. Please don't come out in the bikini. And then, or come out in the bikini. Please come out in the bikini. And then, please take off your bikini. So he's praying the entire time.
He's just praying
for some little bit of action. And that's when it happens.
Yeah.
And that's not what
happens. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But so that scene sort of happens, but not
and this,
if that's the one.
This week that's building up to.
Yeah, conception week. Yeah.
Conception day.
Right. And the thing is, that is definitely Norm's story because that episode happens at my house.
Yes.
And I am home and he comes and he's pledging for the fraternity and he comes to visit and he's like has to wear a dead fish around his neck or in his pith helmet or something. And my mom is coming home from work probably in like 10 minutes.
Yes.
And I'm trying to tell him because I think at this point he's never met my mom.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to tell him like, oh my God, if you don't leave now, you're going to have to meet my mom. And she will walk in the house and she will start screaming at the top of her lungs.
Right. Right.
And I'm trying to tell him that.
Yeah.
And at this point he decides, please put on your bikini. Please put on your bikini. I go, I have no bikini. I never had a bikini. I had a 2-piece bathing suit.
That's a bikini.
A bikini is like a little tiny triangle,
okay,
you know, right?
Yes.
Three triangles, right? And a string up your butt.
Okay.
That's what I always think. This is a genuine 2-piece bathing suit, you know?
With a little bit of skin in the middle.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm looking at the clock and he's like going, please, 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 just let me see you in your bathing suit. So I'm looking at the clock. My mom's like, tick, tick, she's coming home. I go, I'll put it on real quick, you know? So I run in my bedroom and I come out and that's when he kind of drops to his knees. At that moment, the phone rings. So I go answer it and he's like crawling over to me like, oh, you know, this is so amazing, you know?
Yeah.
You're like, and I'm trying to take a phone call from my mom or something. I'm looking at the time. My mom is walking down the street. Everything is freaking me out.
Right.
And like, for some reason, this is like awesome to Norm.
Yeah.
I'm like totally. So
yeah, the energy is building and building and building. It's so exciting right now.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh my God, I am, you know, this
you're
is
already
like
passed
the worst
out.
Thing.
In your swimsuit, it would have been horrible for your mother to find you passed out on the floor
I
with
know.
Your swimsuit.
And I was not even drinking at this.
Yeah. At
nothing.
This moment.
No,
yeah.
Not at all. I bet my house. And so I get off the phone, I run back into the bedroom, you know, get because my mom's coming down the street, you know, and he's just thinking his my mom is just like his mom.
Yeah.
I think his, you know, I think that's what he thinks.
Yeah. Which grandma Dad's mom was very calm a lot.
Very sweet.
Yeah.
Very like, what can I, like, what can I homemade?
Feelings tucked in a lot.
Yeah, but still, you
a
know,
good
like,
person. Yeah.
What you, I would love to make you some cream pie or something. You know,
can I take, yeah, cookie. Let me make some food. You, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and so she walks in the door. And she, again, this is a daily thing. You know, she just starts screaming at the top of her lungs, and then she sees Norm. And I go, oh, by the way, you know, that's somehow in Norm's life, in mine, that's how he sees the conception story.
Yeah, that's the whole scenario. That's the beginning of the conception story.
Right there.
And so, but I had never heard that story before.
No?
Not you in the swimsuit. I did hear the first time that Dad met Grandma, your mom, and that she walks. You said to him, "Just want to let you know when my mom walks in, she's going to start yelling." And he goes, "Like, well, why? Doesn't matter why. She'll walk in yelling." He goes, "You're just lying to me."
Yeah.
And Grandma walks in and starts yelling.
Yeah.
And he goes, "Holy cow!" And then sees that he's there. And it was so funny in the episode of Crashing, the one with Bill Burr, I think.
Uh-huh.
He goes, "I grew up in Boston." He goes, because this guy Pete Holmes is saying this. He goes, "You know, it's always so weird when one of your friends see your parents accidentally fighting or yelling at each other, and then all of a sudden they realize, oh yeah, my mom, dad, I got a friend over here. Like, oh, we're not really fighting in front of the kids. We're not really yelling in our house." And you just realize that just happens, you know. That's a story. And then when you realize that the next generation, most of them will choose not to do that.
Yes.
Let's not fight in front of the kids.
Right.
Or yell in front of the kids. Right. Or yell in front of their kids' friends.
Right. But I always thought.
And by the way, we're out of showtime, just to let you know.
What?
We're done with the show. We're done.
Oh, we are?
We got about a minute to close.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Okay, well, I could have gone on.
I know. That's why you were taking a breath. I thought
I had some more. I had some more memories.
I better just let you know. We're getting close here. And so forth. So I better let you know.
That's cool.
So the whole thing is this, that memories are
fluid. filled with fluid.
And it's good to revisit these.
Yeah.
And it's good. And I wonder if you remember them a certain way to get you through a certain part of your life.
Yeah.
Like when you read Shambhala, you read one time in your life and you're going, oh, I got so much of this. You know, I read the highlighted parts. And then you come back and you're going, why did I highlight this stuff?
Because the other stuff's even
important. The other stuff that wasn't highlighted seems much more important.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. So. It's so true. You really get to deepen, you know, and the inside keeps getting deeper and deeper.
Exactly.
And I know that the show is closing, and I just want to say, on your conception week, I'm so glad you're here.
I'm glad that I was conceived and that I end up being here too. It feels good. I love it. Thank you guys. Thank you guys for
thumbs
being
up.
19 years
thumbs
old
up.
And having some booze. And having some fun.
Yeah.
I'm all there for that.
Yeah.
And I also want to say I'm sorry that your plans were hijacked by that. Which they were.
I mean, you know, the extent of my plans at that moment in time was I was probably going to be like a weather girl in St. Louis.
Yes.
I was kind of heading in that direction.
Yes.
Going to be on TV, but nothing. I'm not going to, you know, like, take the world on fire. I'll just probably be a nice little weather girl.
You had no idea.
I had no idea.
You would set the world.
I was going to be Miss Redbird.
Yeah, because you had the red hair. You looked like, you know, natural redhead. And, you know, you could have set the world on fire. You did. And so instead, this had to have happened, or you would not have had the space to be a psychopomp.
Right.
I don't know of many weather women
and
psychopomps out there.
Yeah. It's a hard thing.
That would have been a hard thing to maneuver.
We should close the show with "I'm a new soul."
Yes, I'm in a strange world. Na 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 na. So, how was the show, girlfriend?
It was great.
It was great. It was great. It was great.